Hello and welcome to season 2, episode 12 of the D-Hoop University podcast. Episode, I want to say 59 or 60 to be exact. I've lost count. And if anything, the informality of the intro, it should reflect what we got going on here. Checking in with Chiz. Emergency pod. Emergency pod status. We are in the wee hours of the night on Tuesday, June 25th, somehow already. A week removed or so from the NBA finals. Less than 24 hours until the NBA draft. Lots has happened. And you know what, guys? Throughout the postseason, we didn't feel the need to be redundant. You saw the video we posted today. Chiv called it from the jump, man, about the Celtics winning the finals. And sometimes you just got to pop out when the time is right. This is a podcast that we told you from the jump isn't going anywhere. And we'll be here when you need it. We want to bring something that contributes to the game and isn't just redundant whenever we do put forth the audio experience. Chiv, how you living?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's good to be back. It's been so long. I feel like it's been a long time since I've potted, but a lot's been happening, and we're just glad I'm glad we're getting it in when we're getting it in, man.
And yeah, this is just a teaser still. I talk to Chiv every other day, essentially, and I'm like, yo, bro, let's pot about this. Let's pot about this. Let's pot about this. It happens nonstop. And there's something in the works that I also am eagerly looking forward to. So it's all going to happen in due time. And I felt like now was a good time to jump in because we had a bombshell. We have our first, call it a blockbuster, if you will. I don't think Mikal Bridges is an all-star just yet, but we had our first big domino of the NBA offseason. The NBA offseason is arguably more entertaining than the postseason, unless your team wins the championship. And that's an outlier.
Feels good, man. It feels good. I mean, I said from the beginning of the playoffs, I wasn't worried because of the way this team was playing. You can rewatch the episode. I read off the numbers for you analytics nerds. There's people out there who love the eye test. You saw what we were doing to teams, and you know, I think a lot of people can sort of refute this Celtics run with, oh, but Halliburton was hurt. Oh, but, you know, Mitchell was hurt. Oh, but Luka wasn't 100%. But we didn't have Porzingis for more than like 10 quarters this entire postseason run. Maybe it wasn't 10.
And ultimately, bro, that's the good fortune you buy yourself when you're in the conference finals 5 years in a row, essentially. I don't know what it is. Everything we're doing right now is off the top. We don't have stats pulled up. We don't have transactions pulled up. We don't have references. We are having a combo. But it's like, yeah, dude, when you're there every single year, you do catch a good break eventually.
I mean, that's what it is. People are acting like, you know, we live in an era where because of the play-in, there's almost sort of like a de-emphasis. I don't know if that's a word, but there's like not as much of an emphasis on like seeding, right? Because it's like, oh, whatever, like we can be unhealthy and squeak into the 10th seed and be okay. But it's like, in a weird way, it's sort of validated what playing winning basketball for a long period of time means, right? Like you get the one seed. You get the luxury of being at home.
It's habits. And all good coaches, you know, they had their version of preaching this, and it's what, you know, pisses you off day in and day out about the grind. And that's what also, dude, makes the celebration so impactful. Like, I'm watching with Whitney, and I'm talking to her, and I'm telling her, I'm like, yo, I remember, like watching the final celebrations. I didn't even watch the first half of that game, just about. We were doing something. But, like, I'm like, I need to see the celebration because, for some reason, those are, like, really lasting moments. I vividly remember the Spurs beating the Lakers in 05 for some reason. Not the Lakers, clearly. Beating the Pistons in 05 for some reason. Yeah. And I was like drawing on my grandmother's, you know, table in the living room. Vividly remember 2012, 2013. It's about damn time. You know what I mean? Like, I vividly remember these title celebrations, and the Celtics one, it hit, bro, because it's like, that's the thing. That's the journey. That's the invisible dangling rabbit, like, in front of you that you're chasing. It's perfection that, like, is something that's unattainable. You know, shout out to Coach Roper. Let me see if I can get it. Good is the enemy of great. We have no interest in being good because we're striving for perfection, knowing that we're not perfect. But if we fall short, we might reach greatness. It's some, you know, I'm blending together, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a great
quote. But it's like you do, when that is the standard, for one, it doesn't always pay off.
Right.
And that's what they felt for so long. So to see it, it's like, yeah, we can mock JT and say he was, you know, clout chasing or copying everybody, jacking everybody's celebration. But you can't fabricate those feelings when you get it done. It's like, dog, I thought this wasn't impossible. It's like, I knew we weren't crazy. I knew we were nice. Like, yeah, everybody,
thing,
like,
right?
Shut up.
That's the thing. I think it's like, it's one of those things where if you play a sport or you've competed, whether it's in a art competition, whether it's in a, you know, short story contest, a short film contest, like, you can, you go through all those emotions of like, okay, like, what would I do? Like, you know, if I win, and how would I feel? And then, you know, you finally do it. And I think, like, you know, I didn't achieve anything in the game of basketball, but like, I remember my freshman year of high school, we're in some tournaments, a midseason tournament. We beat out all these other teams in our conference and won. And I think it was just like in that moment, you're just consumed with just like pure elation and shock. But I think Brad Stevens like put it best recently. He said it was awesome to win, but the best feeling was the validation of the process that we went through to get here. It validated all of the process from, you know, finding the right guys, from shaking up the team, from drafting and staying with your guys, you know, emphasizing playing, all the little things. And I think that's like the biggest thing, right? Like, it's just the process. When you win, it's never by luck.
Boost, right? It isn't. It's a confidence boost. It's affirmation. May 1st, June 1st, even, you could have been like, nah, Brad Stevens is overrated. He gambles every year. He, as a GM or as an executive, like, yeah, he's not the type of executive. He is the coach. Guess what? You win one. Yeah, we're shutting all that up.
Exactly.
The argument's done.
Like, I mean, look at it. Like, all season long, you hear about how Jaylen Brown doesn't have a left hand or turnovers, right? And game two, or was it game? I think it was game three, actually. The game winning, you know, Porzingis goes down or whatever. The game's close. And what does Jaylen Brown do to put them up five? Three dribbles from the right wing, finishes with the left hand, game. Like, the two possessions before that, two dribbles left, pump fake, pull up jumper. Like, it's like, you know, that is something he heard, he addressed and worked on all season. And same thing with Tatum, right? Like, it feels like no matter what the guy does, like, he's just not going to get the credit. And he's reached that point where it's almost sort of like the same sort of flack that guys like, you know, LeBron almost get, where it's like, oh, he's done it so much. We've seen so much of it at such an early age because the Celtics were just ahead of schedule the entire time, to where everything just looks corny now. You know what I mean? The guy had, he was like two rebounds away from a 30-point triple-double. And they're calling him corny. Like, he played his best game in a closeout game in the biggest stage of basketball. And don't forget, he already has an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah, like, no, yeah. Matt, we got to do that. We got to have that conversation we were talking about in just a minute. It's funny because that's what it is, dude. It's such a literally, like you said, what are you going to say now? Because this just worked, and you now have to stop it. It's like Jaylen Brown, you can't quantify the mental
it's immeasurable
you have when you walk out for a full season and you look at every single person that you're going against and you can say to yourself, I'm paid more than you. I'm valued more like higher than you
He
are.
had arguably the
And
biggest target on his back this entire season.
And not only that, not only am I individually being treated that way, my team never loses, just about. So it's like, and I don't have to be Superman for us to win.
Yeah.
So it's like you get to the end and it looks, everything looked so predictable, or just that the outcome was inevitable, because that was the standard that Boston operated at. It was high level operation.
It
Talk
was.
like on the court, on the sideline. I'm sure their pre and post game routines are like robotic. It's like,
Right.
no, that team is operating. They are locked in. This is all what you, this is literally, bro, what you said this team was like.
Yeah.
And yeah, winning is like that. That's why I don't let people talk about Draymond, bro. Because
Yeah.
no. None of
Like you
nothing
have to
about this
do
is
it.
easy.
No.
And to be a key contributor and, reason that that's the case. No, you don't get to diss, you don't get to talk, you don't get to throw dirt on somebody like that for no reason. What have you done? Now,
No.
so there's two, we got to talk, because I texted you. I was like, you know what I think would be pretty fire and I would be down for?
What's up?
And I said, Boston Dallas part two.
Yeah.
Possibly next year. Say Dallas does some re improvements and they, get back and they come back better somehow.
Well, I think
When
the question really is that would be great.
they got an
Assuming
uphill, they've got an uphill battle to do that,
they
to make.
do, they do. And I don't want to put this out there too early, but Ja is also coming back this year. Like that changes a lot for this
Never too
Memphis
early.
team. Like it's a little early, and I'm not saying the Grizzlies can get to the Western Conference Finals, but
No,
like
you know what Marcus Smart is about.
you know what I mean? He's got the chip on his shoulder. He just saw these guys win a title without him. You get Ja back, you still
Yeah,
got.
he hasn't said a word, bro.
Yeah.
He has not said a word, and I don't take that as hate at all,
No.
but it's
Well, he's
like,
just saying he had a
damn.
podcast today, I believe.
I
He had a.
haven't heard. I haven't heard up
I
until
haven't
now.
heard it either. Yeah, but I did see it on the timeline.
That's crazy. No, I mentioned that because yesterday, I think that was when I texted you that. But today, and what the news
Yeah.
is this Mikal Bridges New York
Oh,
trade,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
and Boston New York next year looks like a collision course, and we're
Yes.
literally 7 days removed
KG
from the
said it
current
best.
season.
I think KG recently was doing his thing with Paul Pierce, ticket in the truth or whatever. AP, you're not watching the game like I'm watching it, P.
Yeah.
They were just yapping away, right? But he had a really good point where he was like, now we're gonna see how the league reacts, to Boston. Because the
Facts.
league, after
Facts.
someone wins a title, the league shifts, right?
Yeah.
LeBron does it in 2016. All of a sudden, KD comes over, right? Now you have this era of hyper small ball.
Yeah.
Celtics win with a versatile big. Now it's like, okay, what are the adjustments that are going to be made? Now you got guys really pondering their free agent decisions, right? And
When
credit to the Knicks.
Denver won, when the Nuggets won, it's like, yeah,
Yeah.
screw y'all. We're just gonna do what we do next year.
Yeah.
Like, we're not trying to mimic that. We don't have Jokic.
Yeah, nobody's
Like,
getting another Jokic, right? Exactly.
right. Same with the Bucks. It's like, okay, the Bucks won. Well, we don't have Giannis,
Yeah,
so
exactly, right? But this is,
we'll
and
do what
so it's
we do
interesting.
next year.
It's interesting because I kind of want to dive in on this because there's a lot of talk about, and I said this too. I told you this. I said, we're witnessing, this is the first year of what looks like to be about a 3 or 4 year timeline of this exact squad, right? Jayce Tatum's going to get the max. We know that. There's no question about that. Derek
So
White
I
is
just want
going
to
to
throw
get
this in
extended.
there.
Yeah.
So as we get into whatever it is we do real quick, that the other conversation we're going to have on here before we're done, and we can go either one first, is Jason Tatum versus Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll
Absolutely.
break
That
that
that's
down.
definitely
We'll
worth
break that down.
touching
That hasn't been had yet thoroughly, and I find it very layered and nuanced. But so yeah, no, go ahead.
on. So what I was gonna say was, like just how the league is going to change, right? And you saw a trade happen today, right? But where does because this team, this Boston team, you have everybody that's under contract and extended, right? Jaylen Brown, next 4 years. Al Horford still got a year or two left on his deal. Porzingis got extended for three. Drew got extended for three. Jason Tatum's probably
only Derek White's in question, I believe, right?
Right. And Brad Stevens, the genius that he is, when he acquired Derek White, it wasn't just Derek White the player, it included the bird rights as well. So we have the opportunity to give him what he deserves and take the L with the luxury tax, which, if you know anything about the Golden State Warriors in their prime, they said to hell with it. We're just going to pay the tax and run it up with rings, which is what you have to do in this day and age to win basketball games. So is this like, now we can potentially, I know it's only one ring, but this could pretend, I told you, this is year one of, you know, what looks like to be a 3 or 4 year sort of stint where this is not the last time these guys are going to get to the finals.
Yeah.
I know everybody was healthy, and you got young boys in Orlando and Cleveland and, you know, whatever right. else may happen. But this team is
Indiana.
Right. Indiana. Right. But you got to look at what's across the board. These guys are in their athletic primes now. Jason Tatum's about to enter the first year of his prime.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, I said this on the pod.
Man era.
Yes, exactly. So now it's like, are we looking at a KD Steph dynasty where it's just we just run things and we can come out here and play C-plus basketball and still beat you? Or are we looking at a San Antonio where it's formulaic, it's instinctual?
And no, it's a decade of present.
Right? So it's,
nah,
it's going to be interesting to see.
You can feel the pressure that this ring applied to front offices across the board.
Absolutely.
And in the like footnotes of this Mikal Bridges trade. For one, yeah. The Knicks were damn competitive.
Yeah.
We keep saying this. We're not a week removed from the season.
Yeah.
And they're already like, you can tell, like, the Lakers, for one, you know, we got a ton of things that are unanswered right at the moment. At least we have a coach.
Right.
but you can tell that, like, it feels like the pressure is just dialed up in these front offices. When do you see a move made this suddenly by
wow,
a team that was contending with next year's end goal, like, clearly in mind?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. I mean, for the Knicks, the biggest thing was their injury history, right?
What just happened.
It's crazy.
Noticing that, yo, Boston's not going anywhere.
Yeah. like
and New York now finally being at the contender cusp. It's like, we're not just going to take the back seat. We got to do what we got to do. Philly is looking at that like, we got to pay whoever we need to pay them.
Right.
Pat Riley is like, look at these guys. Like, nah, it just upped the ante. I said, I tweeted this right now to Sazowski. I said, basketball is better when the Knicks are in contention. It's also better when Boston's winning championships. Like, it brings out, you know, the real nitty gritty of these guys.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it definitely does. I can't remember the last time it felt like, because when the Warriors swung KD, it was almost like, everybody kind of collectively just gave up. It was like, you know, all right, well,
I mean, you know, the Rockets didn't back down.
They didn't back
but
down.
But that was about it. The Rockets and the Spurs, you know.
No, that's right. That's right. Like, but it felt league wide. It was like, all right, we're
just. But other than that, no, they knew what was up. Portland in the West, they knew what was up. Denver, Dallas, I don't know who else.
Oh yeah, I couldn't
at the
tell
time,
you.
It's like, I don't remember what those teams were built like. Like,
I think
Clippers.
OKC tried. They got Paul George that one year. They tried.
They tried.
The
like
Clippers
the Clippers.
Tried.
Like, nah, bro. Like, Houston's the one was the New York in this example where it's like, nah, hell no, nah, we're not taking that. Go get Russ. like, let's
and
see if this works.
I think it's gonna be fun because, well, for me,
LeBron
right,
comes like, over. It's like, dog.
For me, like, I'm going to take 30 seconds and do a little victory lap here. One, I did say Jaylen Brown should be first team all defense. And you saw it on display in the finals. And he deservedly won finals MVP. I thought it should have been Tatum. I'm not going to lie to you. I did think it should have been Tatum.
I think game four and five tipped it for Tatum, but the 1 through 3 wasn't decisive. But right.
And I think that's because Jaylen Brown has more electric plays because he took on. You could argue that Jason Tatum took
this
on
a part
of defensive burden because
this,
he was guarding the five.
Yeah. No,
right?
No, dude, as a big, Trust me, I look at that and I notice that Tatum.
Yeah.
This is part of the Tatum KD conversation that's so layered.
Yeah. Let's jump into that. Let's jump into that.
Let's do it. Tatum's great for basketball because he does not play the game with any ulterior motives related to a box score.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tatum gets basketball, both ends of the ball, knows where his advantages are, knows that he's skilled. No, he doesn't shoot it as deadly as Kevin Durant, but he can get a bucket in as many variations, just not to the, 99th percentile like Kevin Durant can. He's probably 96th or 95th, but in this league right now, he's in the 99th percentile of, I can get my bucket when I need to get my bucket. Right. And that series, you saw what my gripe was. I was like, I'm worried about the front court because that means that we're asking a lot out of KP and Al, which they're capable, but will it happen? And that was genuinely buoyed by Tatum becoming a power forward the entire postseason. He went Miami Braun when this, look, we got Bosch at the five. I got the four. Like, they made a big deal out of him having to guard David West. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? Like, back in the day. And, like, this year, the game is different. But Tatum took on the possession doesn't end until we get a rebound. Like, team defense, guard the basket, help side, talk, box out. Those are the things that are up to the back line of the defense. And Al wasn't capable alone. And Tatum really slid over. And that's a thankless position. Like, I'm playing with Chris Bosh right now in 2K a little bit. And dog, underrated, bro. Underrated, underappreciated. Like, the versatility and skill set and just floor raising that a selfless, versatile, big defensively does for you. And Tatum became a version of himself defensively and that we had that wasn't established for everybody to see up until then. It's like he's a 1 through 4/5 now. Like, some of the LeBron player comparisons are there.
Yeah,
and just the position and size and sort of similarities. But the reason why this Kevin Durant thing is interesting to me is because LeBron's just in a different lane. He's in a different lane, but you can sort and up until this point, Kevin Durant was as well. Elite scorer from day one. 20 points, rookie of the year. Second year, sophomore season, 25 points per game. From year three on, he was 30 for a season.
Yeah.
And there's not many replicas of that. Tatum is about the only one. Whatever the scoring numbers were, look, year one, conference finals. Year two, you know what I'm saying? Year two, year three, year four. Never getting bounced in the first round.
Right.
I made the finals as well within the first five seasons. Same way, five or six seasons, same way Kevin Durant did, with some strong, guns running next to me, whether that's Russell Westbrook and James Harden, or that was Jaylen Brown and just Drew Holiday and Derek White, Marcus Smart, the cast of veterans around Jason Tatum and his, shotgun man. So it's like, I find that is really interesting because Kevin Durant has solidified his spot as like top 15. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give or take.
Definitely.
He's got two rings with two finals MVPs. Jason Tatum now has a championship, but he has one before all of these guys.
Yeah.
Except for Kobe and Magic.
Yeah.
And probably Larry. You know what I mean? But like 90s on, he's got a ring sooner than all. And Duncan. But he's got Andy Wade.
On top of that, JT is one of five players in playoff history to get at least 2,500 points, 500 boards, 500 assists, 100 steals, and 100 blocks. He did it in 113 games. KD did it in 170 games.
Man, no, bro. He is blazing a trail right now that there's not many contemporaries for. And the fact that he has this one ring already, nobody thinks he's done at one.
Yeah.
So, Kevin Durant, unless you're getting another one with the Houston Rockets next year, we'll get to that on a future pod. He is going to catch you I guess the conversation you have is, say he finishes with two, how big is that finals MVP credit go? And then for KD, he's like, okay, you lost the year to the Achilles. You got the smirch of the Golden State super team, ruined the league, you want to say that. But there's no arguing the back-to-back elbow daggers that he gave in the clinching game of the NBA Finals over the best player of the generation. There's no substituting how much of a statement that is. So it's like, KD is there, but right now, Jason Tatum is like low-key already on his, like, he's like, dog, hey, I can be that second or third best wing of the 2000s on. Possibly, dog, that's nuts, but that's the conversation right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's definitely a conversation to be had, and you hit it sort of right on the head there. Like, in terms of just like scoring, I think we saw a lot of Jason Tatum just be a scorer really early in his career. And sure, it didn't look as pretty as KD, but I don't forget the fact that he walked into Brooklyn when Brooklyn had KD, Harden, and Kyrie, and he gave him 50 to extend the series. Like, when his second, I think his running mate that year, because Jaylen Brown was out, was Evan Fournier, if I remember correctly, who might have had like 14 as well.
He handed Philadelphia 50. It's like, dog. Philadelphia
50 in a game seven. The way I sort of see it is, I think people naturally want to gravitate to a Tatum comparison with another high level scorer like a Kobe or Durant, right? But in my opinion, I think what Tatum really is the Tim Duncan of like small forwards. It's just, I'm going to be great around other great players, and I'm just going to do what my team requires of me night in and night out. And I'm not really going to complain about it. The media can nitpick about, you know, what I could do more of, but it doesn't matter as long as we're winning. And you see that. That's why he hasn't let go of the Larry O'B trophy.
At the end of the day, it will frustrate you endlessly because you're going to come up short against it. Dog, that you smoked that. That's fire.
Exactly. That's what it is. That's really,
it's
like,
going to frustrate you to like the furthest length, try and beat it.
Because what can you really say? It's like, I put up numbers in games, but I don't do it the way you want me to. And for some reason, that should be credited against me, which makes no sense in my opinion. You saw at the end, you don't think Tatum could have done that all series? Just go straight to the rim every single time. But does that win the game? No, they win the game because Tatum gets the ball moving. Because Tatum switches out on the pick and roll.
He doesn't shoot them out of game.
Exactly. Like, Tim Duncan never shot you out of a game. You know what I mean? But I could look at a point where, you know, any superstar.
Yeah, you can say he didn't make the game winner, but yeah.
Right. Exactly. But at the end of the day, does it matter when your team is winning and they're playing literally a historic level of basketball? Like, a historically great level of basketball. They never lost more than two games in a row this season.
Right.
They lost one road game in the playoffs.
I'll let you go.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, they lost one road game in the playoffs all year, and they decided to phone it in Dallas because they wanted to win it at home. Like,
nah, man. We're projecting, you know, and looking ahead, but, like, I don't want this to be taken as hyperbole in that we're grasping at straws, because that is the climate.
Yeah.
This is the climate.
This is. This and is
I,
not...
You know, I use 2K theory just for fun, but it's like, you look at players' ratings across the categories, not their number overall, like the grade, the letter grade for the categories. It is very rare where you're going to see somebody who is an A in every category, because there's inside defense, perimeter defense, three-point shooting, rebounding, athleticism. It's like, even LeBron, the three-point shooting, unless he's having a great season, is going to be a B. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
It's not going to be an A or an A-minus or an A-plus.
Absolutely.
And Tatum is one of the select few right now. If you pull up his 2K player, it's A's across the board.
Yeah.
That's Tim Duncan esque of small forwards. Like,
and that's what I'm saying. It's like the resemblance is so similar to me, because it's like both are just sort of soft-spoken guys. They're not you know, they have their little quippy one-liners, right? Tim Duncan would always have those Belichickian post games where it's like, you know,
shows up to the game with a plate,
right? Like he just comes in and hoops, man. And like, you know, you look at all the external things that NBA young NBA stars are getting into these days, where, you know, they get into trouble with some woman, or, you know, they're out.
Who knows what?
And that's not an indictment on anyone's character either. I'm just saying, like, you know, for example, like, look at James Harden, right? And this isn't even shade at James Harden. He's an unbelievable player and an all-time great. Don't get me wrong about that. But, you know, he's going out to party, right? He's with Lil Baby the night before a game, and he doesn't win anything, right? And, like, you start to you leave holes to nitpick at. But Tatum doesn't allow you to do that. You don't see him going out and partying, right? The things they're trying to strip him down from are, you post your son.
I think they got another one on the, or him and Ella got one on the way.
Yeah, dude. It's incredible, man. Like, what he does to stay out of trouble at that age, to have that much success. Like, I'm telling you right now, if I was experiencing that much success, I would be outside and you would know about it. Like, we're not separated by that much. We're separated by a year.
Literally,
you see me outside all the time. No, and bro, I don't
these
have
are
even,
these
like,
are
a
our
fears. Success.
He was taking the pick after Lonzo Ball, and I graduated with Lonzo Ball. A zip code or two away from them.
That's what I'm saying.
I too have a child. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it's like,
I don't want it to sound like I'm code switching. Shiv, for the record, about this time last year when I was saying Boston, like, Jason, Jalen, will one of you guys get a technical foul? Will one of you guys shove somebody? Will one of you guys get mad and piss off at the ref? Like, did I not say I hold those guys accountable because I see potential in them? And I was calling Jason. Like, I said, I believe Jason Tatum is the best player in the league waiting to happen.
Yes.
I just, for the record, like, you know what I mean? So I am happy that's where this energy is coming from.
No, I agree.
Passion, I guess, for this debate. Because, I agree with you, bro. It's dope to see somebody try and max out but make a statement. And I think, you know, even though their banner and parade and celebration, like, didn't dominate the timeline, it felt. And, like, teams are, like, already at the drawing board trying to get ready because they know that Boston is going to be ready.
Absolutely. And don't forget, by the way, Jordan Walsh is on the way, my friends. Jordan Walsh is on the way. I was following him this entire year.
What you going to do, brother?
Bro, they had this man doing nothing but dunking and shooting threes in the G League. He's a versatile defender, aggressive rebounder, loves to finish at the rim. And you're going up against Jason, Jalen, Drew, Derek White, and you're learning from Al Horford and Porzingis. Like, if you're Jordan Walsh,
you're scouting. You
just turned 20 years old, maybe 21. Like, what an incredible learning experience.
Yeah, you are who the organization has empowered to mimic who the starters will have to go out there and be battle tested against.
Yes.
The practice player role, the penny jersey. Yep. Hey, he's 77. All right. Treat him like 77. Like, and you go act like 77.
If you heard Jaylen Brown right before game five, he was mic'd up and he went up to Jordan Walsh. And Jordan Walsh was sort of stretching at half court, but you could sort of see his eyes were a little wide, right? And naturally, right? You went to Arkansas. This is the biggest game he's played since like the Sweet 16, man. And Jalen went up to him and said, "You got to be a young dog. These are what these moments are about.
Bro,
be a young dog. Soak it up."
Jalen Brown, dog, is a hell of a leader.
Oh, my God. It's incredible. And dog. I said this, man. I said this all season. I said, this is the first year of his prime. He has stepped up in every facet of the game. And you're going to have to deal with this because he's 27, which means we have at least 3 or 4 years of this level of basketball.
Right. Don't expect a fall off.
Yeah.
And he might be the most built player in the league. Dead ass.
Dude, he's so strong. When he attacks the rim, it's this combination of, like, power and, like, finesse that is unique to himself. I can't really compare it to anybody else's finishing ability at the rim. Like, his athleticism in the air, his verticality is just nuts. Like, he's the type of dude, he's got the hops
He's got some midair, you know, D-Wade sort of.
Dude, it's nuts. It's unique. Like, Jason Tatum's game is also unique. Like
D-Wade would give you a shoulder, bounce you, reverse, fillet. He's still floating. And Jaylen's kind of like that. Like, bro, his bang outs, his dunks in the finals were emphatic. Dude. And one of them made me think about, yo, why did his ass go out there in the dunk contest? And just, but that's an indictment against the dunk contest, not against the player for sure. But no, he should be in dunk contests because game dunks will always be different. Dunks are just different. It's like the energy behind it. And you get up more for a game dunk.
Absolutely.
You are bouncier when you're driving and you see a target and it's like,
exactly. Oh, you're not winding up thinking about it. You're just going to the rim and you're like, no, I'm going to flush this on his forehead.
Get like a plus 30%.
Yeah.
Like kicker on that lift. So I mean, I guess if we can pause it and that'll be something for us to continue with.
That's
in terms of
the clap. Shout out to Boston. They got it done. It's a testament to the process. It's also a testament to not load managing. Have your players play, right? Play the right way every game. Learn from a win. Learn even more from a loss. Play every game. Play defense.
Everything counts. Yeah, it's muscle
memory.
Every
single thing counts, right? From the way you sleep to what you eat to your emotional and mental states, how you keep those things in check, right? Like, everything matters. And Boston, and I'll tell you this much, man, like, and this will be my last thing on them. Now that Jason and Jaylen have won, the level of freedom that you will see them play and express themselves with is
scary.
To be
scary. Recognized. Definitely it, scary.
It's scary hours, man. It's scary hours.
Bro, this was required because y'all didn't want to give Boston their credit. Y'all didn't. Y'all let it move on real quickly. It was only Bill Simmons and his dad. I heard y'all. y'all didn't.
That is so true. That
the Boston segment.
That was such a wholesome moment. Like, that is such an unbelievable.
It is good for
moment.
Them, dog. Literally,
good for them. Good on them. Seriously.
No, man. The A block segment. It wasn't even. It barely was the lead.
Yeah.
It was the lead for about 24 hours. Yeah. I didn't see a video from the parade.
Dude, I mean, I had to, like, just keep looking for it. I saved a bunch on my Twitter bookmark.
Yeah, that's
like,
your timeline.
Yeah, exactly. That's
but, like,
my
if that's not in your algorithm, like, it went.
No, like, went way ahead. Yeah, for sure.
In the night. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, no. This everybody better recognize. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the real deal, which, you know, leads us to teams regrouping, and like I said, the draft in 24 hours.
Yep.
New York just made this aggressive deal. I don't think they're done. My only thoughts there that, you know, everybody's wondering what's up with OG.
Right.
They did trade for him at the deadline, and it's like, you don't give up assets like they did, being at RJ Barrett, first round pick, Emmanuel Quickly, some other pieces, Precious Achiuwa, they got him back. You don't give up pieces to then let the asset that you acquired go for nothing. And the fact that they went and got Mike Howe, and the fact that neither Brunson or Randall are on max contracts, they don't have a max salary contract player on the team.
Yeah.
They are able to swing. And even Bridges' deal right now is very team friendly. Josh Hart's deal is team friendly as the cap has gone up season after season. So they can go into the luxury cap. Because you're allowed to do that to re-sign your own players. They can take the hit that offering OG Anunoby $200 million is. And I think they know damn well they don't value him on that level. So I think that they learned through this postseason that, you know what? Great asset, great weapon, great piece, you know, great frame and all that.
Yep.
I think he's unreliable. And availability is the best ability. And he is like, we had you for 3.5 months, and we had to hope that you were playing for two of them. So I think that doesn't go over the best in the front office. And you're like, there's trepidation. since we have the luxury of doing that, and we are a big market, we are forced to spend. We're in an arms race with the Boston Celtics now as well.
Yep.
We will take the hit of tossing you the $200 million bag, and maybe we get lucky and this works out perfectly in the end with you on the roster. And if not, cool. 90 days in, those restrictions come off. Who wants them at the deadline?
Yeah.
Literally, who wants them? And we do get the assets back. And if not, sign and trade during one of the sign and trade agreement, since the deals have to be finalized after the, you know, once the free agency window opens. I see a sign and trade possibility happening during the draft tonight or tomorrow and then following night. 100%.
No, I think one, it's a rare instance where a trade for both sides actually works well, and good on New York for leaning into their players, right? We were talking about that over text to, you know, like, hey, what do you think about this? Like, should we do this? Do your homework, check with your players, figure out whether the fit makes sense from your core guys. And they already have existing chemistry. Go get the guy, right? Now, Brooklyn, on the other hand, props to them because they finally just decided to pull plug on everything and just reset it because it's a good gamble. Is New York going to be good in 4 years from now? I don't know. Are they going to be good in 7 years from now? Probably not. Like, so if you're Brooklyn, you go and you get all your picks back because you squandered them away trying to do this big three experiment that just didn't work out ultimately. So good on Brooklyn for pulling the plug and hard reset, right? Go
and let me read this out because I retweeted it.
Yeah.
The Brooklyn Nets overall return for Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Cam Johnson.
Uh-huh.
8. Ocho, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7. 8 unprotected first round picks.
Wow.
1 protected first rounder.
Yeah.
A pick swap in 2028.
Please.
Another unprotected swap and 3 second round picks.
Yeah.
I no, lost it's count.
It's an incredible haul. It's an incredible haul. Brooklyn has.
That's a coup.
It was.
What's his name? Cam Thomas. Your world, my brother.
Go show out, young fella.
Let me see something, young fella.
You know what you're not going to see from Cam Thomas? Defense. That brother is about to be responsible for multiple 40 point games on his head.
It's over, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, that man is a confident, tough shot taker.
He's licking his lips right now, like, oh no, we're this is what we needed to do.
This is right where we want them. Hey man, you never know. This, you know what I mean. If he doesn't like
me,
go
with this trade.
Go out there and hoop and prove to be a worthy trade candidate for a team that can pick you up and be able to go make a difference on that team, right? If you're Cam Thomas, this is a great opportunity for you. But the Boston Celtics fan in me looks at this Knicks trade and I think, well, now you're essentially gonna lose OG, right? And you're kind
of because
he doesn't really fit. I agree, right?
Because those are your 1, 2, 3, 4. You want those guys on the court clearly.
Yep.
And the fifth isn't going to be OG Anunoby.
It's good, right? And so now you've got Hartenstein.
Yeah, the lineup will work.
Hartenstein could go make generational wealth on a different team. So if he decides
to come to the Lakers,
right? So if he decides to leave, now you're looking at Randall and Mitchell as your bigs, and neither of those guys have proven to be very healthy. So unless New York is moving some of one or both of these guys around for somebody that's a little more formidable as a big, you know, the Boston fan in me is licking my lips because you go ahead and bring wiry Mikal Bridges on a physical Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. I like that. That's 35 and 10 right
hey,
there.
Hey, man. Hey, Mike, Cal's been to the dance, bro. He's ready for that, though.
Hey, listen, this is not. This is no Marcus Page, North Carolina. All right. This is Jason Tatum.
Nah, but I mean, he did that in 2021. He did that against Chris Middleton and the boy.
Hey, Chris, prehistoric skull Chris Middleton is a few tiers away from fresh haircut top 5 JT, bro. All right, like let's not get disrespectful here. But no, I mean, hey, listen, if you're New York, you have to do this because at the end of the day, Boston has forced the Eastern Conference's hand. Either you roll over or, you know, you do what you have to do to compete. And credit to New York, they are going to try to compete. They're not, you know, they didn't mess around. They knew who they wanted for the longest time. And the reality of the league nowadays is if you have a guy in mind, you have to do what you can to go get him because some team will go and pay a lot more for him, and then you can't afford that contract. So go out there and get your guy, man, and way to make it happen as soon as possible, right? Now you got the full offseason because none of those guys are playing in USA basketball. So, like, you know, these guys have the full offseason to get right, train together.
I think Brunson is on the team.
Right, go get your $1.50 slice.
Nah, I think Brunson is on the team, isn't he?
Oh, is he on the team?
I believe so.
Okay, he'll get his 10 minutes, right? It's like when Darren Williams is on Team USA, right? You get your run. You know what I mean?
Please take the helm for the second unit.
Yeah, when we're up 35 against freaking,
you might finish the game in the blowout.
you'll dribble out the clock a few times, pal. You know what I mean? Oh man, dude, but I mean, hey, shout out to he had an insane season. Anybody that, you know, writes off his game is just ridiculous. Not on the squad. No, Brunson can play, man. Sure. I give him a lot, but you know, he can play. But good for the Knicks, man. I'm telling you this much, like, you know, with the recent changes that have happened in my life, I think I might be able to afford maybe seeing this New York Boston game, maybe in the Garden, maybe in the Mecca. You know, I might have to swing that, to be honest, because that'll probably be one for the books, man. This could be a heck of a game.
Yeah, no Jalen Brunson on Team USA. Shout out to D'Erica Hamby, who's replacing Cameron Brink on the USA 3x3 women's basketball roster. That's pretty dope.
Should we do some WNBA shout outs? I got one too.
We got more. This became more than an emergency pod. It's still an emergency pod. You can feel the energy over the waves. It's like,
yeah, for sure,
folks. Y'all need this. It's all good. We got you.
We got you, man. It's an omakase experience, right? Most podcasts are sort of drive through, right? You go to the In and Out drive through a couple
give me
times.
Give me the number three again.
Yeah, this is omakase. You leave it up to the chefs. They'll tell you what they made, right?
I don't know what that means.
Dude, so omakase in Japanese means something like left up to the chef or like at the chef's discretion.
Yeah,
so it's like you go into like this place. And there's no menu, right? You go in there, you just say you're there for the omakase experience, and they bring out like, you know, 10, 11 courses, and they're all like small bites, right?
Fine dining.
It is, dude. It is. It's a great experience. If you're a big sushi fan, I encourage you to drop the 100, drop the 150, tack on the 60, $70 bottle of sake. Just make it an experience. You know, regret it later. But our podcast is more of an omakase. It's like, this is what we're going to talk about. And you didn't know you wanted to hear this. You didn't think it would go that direction. But once you kind of, you know, you take that first bite, you're like, oh, actually, I didn't know this would work well together. And I feel like that's sort of the vibe that we're always on with these with our pod, at least whenever we get a chance to lock in.
Didn't even get to do the open-ended 1 through 16 simulation of what the postseason would have panned out to be.
That's right.
These are some of the cutting room floor ideas, folks, that we have for you. plenty of WNBA to still get into. I am locked in.
You were locked all the way.
As locked in as you could have gotten in 2 months' time, essentially. Big thoughts still to be had. And y'all, for one, I'm a Caitlin the player fan.
Absolutely.
She's nice, bro. She's nice.
I agree with that.
Great player. Has a Steph Curry arc potentially ahead of her.
I agree. I think even when you saw her at Iowa, it was like, this looks very Harden in Houston, Luka current iteration, Steph in 2015. Like, this system rolls around her, and you see it in Indiana.
I'll say it.
Where it's like, she just needs some dogs with her, right? Her
Yeah,
team.
no, man. I'll go ahead and jump off with this.
Yeah.
My dad said this, and I'm like, you don't even gotta really flesh it out. You're right. Because at the same time, you almost can't say one without pissing off the other fans. But Angel Reese is carving out
Yes,
and
absolutely.
like a completely, stride for stride unicorn rookie season of her own. And it's you had to reevaluate what you thought the ceiling was for her as a player. Dog, she's looking like a young Asia Wilson.
Absolutely.
What my dad
Absolutely.
said was about the divisiveness that is present. And I was like, are you even watching the game? He's like, yeah, no, I'm not even watching. You know what I mean? I can just see what's going on right here. And this it we it's not, I don't care. I'm not trying to work anybody up on a social tip because we were talking hoops and it's not that. But history repeats itself, and the WNBA, for one, knows that they have lightning in a bottle. Every singular metric is amplified right now and hitting new heights. Like, as a stock, the stock is doing things like it's on a just a crazy, crazy wave. But my dad said this Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark thing is playing out to be is the WNBA's Magic versus Larry.
Yeah. Dude, I like that comparison a lot, actually. I do feel that way. I think it's like you got two guys that you've been watching since college, right? You're familiar with.
Enter the league together.
Yep. They are pitted against each other from the jump. They went off against each other in college, so you're familiar with
Yep.
them.
You've
You're
seen
able to
them tango
store.
before.
Yeah, man. No, it's that's a great comparison. And
And then
don't
at the
forget.
end of the day, fall on whatever side that you want. The
Yep.
two of them ran the league for a decade.
Yep. Yep. No, absolutely.
Save the league.
Absolutely. And on top of that, you got Paige and Juju on the way. Like,
Young
the
Mike,
league is in a
Isaiah.
great spot. It is in such a great spot. And
Nah, man, it's on some origin story of a
is.
different, and that's the part where it gets frustrating and wanting there to be an answer to the dialogue, because no, we have now opened up a 10-year book. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We are in the first chapter of anthology that will have several installments. Like, LeBron's career is still playing out. People knew from day one, the conversation was as like polarized as it could be. And 20 years later, it hasn't really changed.
Yep.
So it's like, nah, this is going to be different for the WNBA. And
No,
it's
it is.
just it's a point in time.
It is. It absolutely is. I'm fortunate enough to have been watching the WNBA because of my younger sister for a few years now. Always would just throw it on because, my sister was Hooper in high school, played small ball, small D3 school in LA for her 4 years, was like team
Shout
in. And so, always just,
out.
as
Shout
basketball is basketball at the end of the day, right? Like, I remember growing up and like my dad would force me to
I
take her to
have
play
such a
pickup and pop.
newfound love for women's basketball
Dude.
it's like I already loved basketball. Why
That's what I'm
didn't I
saying.
love women's basketball?
Dude.
Like,
And so that's the thing, right? Like, I get the whole, everybody wants to make jokes about how
it's
it's not
different.
as,
It's different, but it's
it's
still
different,
basketball.
dude. It is
It,
different, and it's so fun. Like, so if you like basketball, like, it doesn't matter what's on. Like, if basketball is on, I will watch it, right? And so you can knock it for whatever reason, the same way you can knock watching the league for whatever reason, the same way you can knock watching FIBA for whatever reason. But at the end of the day, basketball is basketball, and high level women's basketball is still high level women's basketball, and I'm gonna take that any day of the week, my friends. So shout out to the league, bro. Seriously, the W is in great hands. It's only gonna get better from here. I'm for sure finding my way up there to at least catch a Dallas Wings game at least once or twice. Get familiar with the team there. Hopefully we can get one in Austin or San Antonio or
Hey, yo, to
something.
be honest, man, well, yeah, they've probably got one more spot in Dallas, because right now it's only the Dallas Wings,
Yeah,
right?
you only got Dallas, so it's
Houston,
up.
well, the Aces are the San Antonio Silver Star or
Right.
San Antonio
That's
Stars
true. Right.
relocated.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And the
That's right.
Houston Comets
Yeah.
became a different organization as well. And the
Yeah.
Houston Comets have historical ties to the WNBA
Yeah.
because Cheryl Swoopes and the Comets
Yep.
won the first four championships
Yeah.
consecutively.
Yeah. They ran it off, man.
So the fact that a team doesn't exist there now is almost like, blasphemous. But
Yeah.
the next couple of expansion teams have been announced. We're getting Golden State and we're getting Toronto this season in the next two seasons. But they're eyeing one more, and the Texas team makes a ton of sense. And conversations I had on other shows, yeah, there hasn't been a team added to the WNBA since the Atlanta Dream. And I think that
Yeah.
was in 2009, 2008. So the league's very overdue, saturated with talent. Every player in the WNBA was like a high school All-American, second team All-American in college, all conference in college. Like, there's no grub or, foreign flyer that didn't prove themselves that's in the WNBA. That's what makes that league different. Like, the standard and the bar of skill and talent to get there and then thrive on that stage, it's like Olympic level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why this team hasn't lost in the Olympics in forever. Nah, bro, that's fire. That's definitely fire. Oh, I was gonna say about Dallas is unfortunately wheels are kind of coming off. They could mess around and be in Paige territory next year. Because
No.
Juju's probably not coming out yet still anyway.
Yeah,
But
yeah,
they
yeah.
might be in they could mess around and be in Paige territory next year, maybe Hannah Hidalgo, maybe some of these other girls. But that's not a bad spot to be in as well. Indiana's not upset that they have Aliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark.
No, not at all, man. And they shouldn't be, because she can play. She can play.
I have her in fantasy. The homies tried to make their comments and saying, oh, you left all that talent on the board, took her at fifth. You want to know what position rank she is?
I'm gonna go with seven.
I'm texting it to you so that way you don't think I'm capping.
Let me see when I get it.
You see it delivered.
It hasn't come through yet. Let me see what's up. I just got it. Let me see. No way. That's
You see
nuts.
it.
That's crazy. One.
Position rank one.
That's
Top
incredible.
dog.
That's
For guards
crazy.
as
And
a
that's what
rookie. And we treat fantasy. You
right.
know we do the deal. Casual diehard fantasy stuff. I said no. She is capable. She's a capable scorer, passer, and rebounder, and it's going to be her show.
Oh, yeah.
For fantasy, and we don't count turnovers as negatives. There's no negative points in women's fantasy. Like, turnovers, field goal percentage, none of that. So, and she plays defense. She averages a block and a steal.
Yeah, dude. No, she hoops, man. She can play. Like, there's a reason she's the all-time leading scorer in the NCAA between men's and women's. Like, you don't, she wasn't in some, WC
Second in the
conference.
league so far in threes made.
Like, dude, she can play, man. People want to act like she can't play.
Top
Like,
five in assists.
I don't understand why people are
It's
pretending like
same dog, Angel, bro. Yo, she's fucking averaging a double double.
she's
Like,
not. That's why.
she's averaging like a Blake Griffin double double. Like,
She's cold, man. She's cold. She's like that. She's absolutely like that. And
yeah, nah,
people
man,
that.
it's fire. That's my gripe that I did. I could have also had Angel. I had Cameron Brink with the third pick. You know how I'm
Yeah.
feeling, bro. You know
Yeah.
how I'm feeling. And guess what? We're still 5-1. We're still
That's
five
fine.
and one.
What we want.
Dog, so much to look forward to, bro. We didn't get to talk about the draft. I don't know anybody in the draft. Zach Edey will be a top 10 pick, bro. Did we not establish during the tournament that Zach Edey was worth consideration in the first round pick? conversation around what his status was silly. He's 7'4", 7'5", and he was playing 35 plus minutes in the tournament.
What he does, man. He's got a motor. It's the foot speed and his ability to stretch the floor.
I don't want to hear that he won't adapt. And that's he's going to be a dinosaur. Like, yeah, you know, fine. I will take his 24 minutes for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and just less attached to college ball until like March time, but this is, you know, I don't know much about this draft at all, but from what I'm hearing through the reactions on Twitter and just social media in general, it feels like this draft is going to be, you know, it kind of reminds me of 2013 where it was like there was like nobody, but then, you know, Giannis was in that draft. So one of these guys is going to pan out, right? Like, and it looks like it's going to be Sarr because this guy looks insane, but there's somebody there that's going to be buried in the middle.
And won't know after year one.
Absolutely not. But it feels like this draft could have a lot of really solid rotation guys where it's like, you know, and in the right system, you're a great third option. Like
This is my last thing for the pod. We're gonna wrap it. I'm just getting things off. Same way I did with Magic and Larry about Caitlin and Angel. It's the other part that's just been burning on my chest. Nobody said it, and I have to say it.
Okay.
The player you were describing that this draft is probably full of, you know, Draymond Green type of gems. You just don't know. Somebody's going to surpass whatever their projection was. And when anybody said about them, period, in the weeks leading up to the draft and pre-draft scene. We've talked about Bronny enough on this pod, and y'all have heard me say that I think he's going to be fine. He's going to be a player in the NBA.
Yeah.
Let's do a hypothetical here. Half of the names that we will hear in the first round of the draft we'll have never heard of and maybe struggle to pronounce. If Bronny James was an international prospect and his name was, I'm not going to, you know, conjure up a name to sound insensitive. If his name was anything else, and he's just an international prospect, because Bilal Coulibaly had folks drooling. Killian Hayes had folks drooling.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If he came over from, Real Barcelona or FC Barcelona and was their young bull, 18-year-old on their, you know, EuroLeague Division A roster, and he got 15 minutes a game and he averaged 5 points and, you know, no, he averaged no counting stats. However, when he was invited to the combine, he led players in scrimmages points. He posted a top five vertical. He showed NBA range, and there was no questions about his defensive upside. Even as a smaller side guard who may have another inch or two in them.
Mm-hmm.
Would we be saying, if that player was projected to go lottery, what we've seen this before. So I wanted to lay that out hypothetically to sort of juxtapose the unfair and just one of one spotlight that Bronny is in, which can lead to, for one, plenty of folks saying just baloney. Absolute baloney when it comes to him. And if anything, a misguided consensus around the kind of player that he is and should be projected to be.
Yep. The narrative that he can't play or like that he won't be good, just, I don't know, right? And I guess I kind of understand because, you know, he didn't do anything, I guess, incredibly noteworthy in college. But at the same time, like, you know, USC's backcourt was pretty loaded. You know, you had Collier, you had a couple guys in there that could all hoop. But I think for Bronny, the biggest thing is like what works in his favor is the fact that he's been around this level of environment for such a long time. Like people are acting like he's just another kid that's like going to the draft when in reality, he's been training in NBA stadiums probably since he was in middle school. So this is not something he's not used to. I think he's self-aware enough to learn and want to grow and perform, right? He's a smart kid. He's well-spoken. Like, there's no obvious red flags with Bron, in my opinion. And I think with a
Nah,
lot of
man.
prospect guys,
He is your
mind blown.
average 19-year-old with a good, with by all accounts, a good head on his shoulders
Yeah.
and likes to play video games and
Literally,
like
like,
has been groomed at the highest level of AAU basketball.
yeah, the kid can,
Casually.
and give him a chance. Like,
Casually.
if you're willing to take a flyer on some guy from Europe that I haven't
Exactly.
until
When
a
your
month
team
before the
drafts
draft,
somebody who you've never heard of,
yeah, man,
you
like,
should
give the
say to
kid a chance.
yourself,
Like, he hasn't
should we
shown
have
you
just taken
that
Bron?
maybe he's not good. Like, you know what I mean?
And that's the, and I'm not making this any about color whatsoever. I'm just saying that what he is, what's been lost in the conversation around Bronny is who, what I think he will become, and that it shouldn't be that hard to see right now. And what folks are saying about this draft is that if you cut off the best seven or eight players in a draft, for example, last season, that means you're cutting off after the Thompsons, after, you know what I'm saying, who else was in the top six or seven last year? I can't recall right now. Like I said, we didn't pull up anything up for this podcast.
Yeah, I can't.
What's it called? The Keontae Georges. It's like
Right,
they're
that's
saying that if you're starting the draft there. However, that's just one way of putting this class in perspective for folks to try and understand it. But they're saying it's like that. So every team in this draft is just throwing darts and hoping that a stock that isn't starting high actually turns into something and you won. No super flag. There's none, that's not this draft. But doesn't mean that nothing can't come out of it. So I've made the argument that, yo, Lakers at 17, that might be Bronny.
Yeah, it definitely could be.
Because if not, you have next up pick 55. And to think that there's not one savvy, and Simmons floated the Celtics taking him at 30. Just guys, if we hear Bronny's name tonight, don't overreact, please. Chill
Yeah,
out.
that's what I'm
Chill
saying.
out.
Hey, you give Bronny a few years behind Drew, Derek White, like Peyton
Dog.
Pritchard, like
Practice,
I'll take that.
Missoula. Bro.
I'll take that. I promise you, I'm cool with that. Like that's
Who
there's
did
there.
who did the Wizards take at like 10 a couple years ago that's like still on the roster trying to like, hey, do we have something here? Who is
Was
it?
it?
Who'd you say?
Kispert? Is it Corey Kispert?
No, Kisper's coming along. We know who he is now. He's in the rotation. I'm talking,
Okay.
it's coming to me. It's coming to me. He's a guard from, I want to say, an SEC school. And I don't even want to look it up. What's his name?
Dude,
If
I.
not SEC, it's like Big Ten. Johnny Davis.
Oh my God, Johnny Davis.
Just
Jeez.
like, for example, a team can take somebody like that at pick 10 or 11. And you can be 3 years down the line, like, so what do we have here?
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely.
I'm just saying, I don't know how to feel about Jalen Hood-Schifino going
Yeah,
forward. Like, please
for
go get
sure.
another second round pick for him. I don't know.
No, dude, I
Like,
agree.
you know what I'm saying?
If you're
I won't be
picking at
mad
the
at
bottom
Bronny.
half of the draft and you're a team that consistently makes the playoffs, like, why not take a flyer on a guy that has nothing but upside? You know what I mean? There's not like if he doesn't pan
In
out,
a
he might.
draft where where everything's on sale.
Yeah, exactly. Take a flyer on him, let him sit, let him learn. And you know, the good thing
And
about
summer leagues right around the corner. We'll get to see
you
some.
know, send him to the G League, go develop for a year, bring him in
Yeah.
every now
Nah,
and then, you
dude.
know.
I can't wait for summer league, man. You know I gotta pull up.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. We're making that happen this year for sure too, by the way. This year is for sure the link up.
Oh, damn. Nah, man,
Good
that's it,
stuff.
bro. That's it. That's it. Emergency
Good
pod.
stuff.
Y'all are welcome. Y'all are welcome. I told Shiv 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. We might have just ran off a cool hour.
Hour 14.
There you
Count.
go. Buy one, get one free, man.
If you're listening. like, follow, and subscribe, interact, tap inwardly, be a part of the fam, be a part of the comments, the conversation. Because we just want to come in here and have conversation and with supporting evidence, make it make sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. That's real. That's real.
Shout out to Ken and friends. That's all, folks.
That's all, folks.